Good morning to each one. So good to be with you on this beautiful Lord's Day that we've been blessed with. I invite you to take your Bibles out, please. Be open to the book of Isaiah, where we were just a moment ago with Gary, but not the 53rd chapter, but if you'll turn to the 40th chapter of Isaiah, please. Just a moment or so, we'll be reading some verses from Isaiah chapter 40. You may have noticed a few songs about prayer this morning. I asked Daniel to do that, and he led three about prayer, and there's a good reason for that, because I want to speak to you this morning about the benefits of prayer. When's the last time that you really considered the many benefits of prayer? You know, when you stop and think about it, prayer has to be, without question, one of the greatest spiritual blessings that we have through Christ Jesus. And I think about that perhaps we would pray more, perhaps we would value prayer more if we took the time to study all the marvelous and wondrous benefits of this great blessing of prayer. And so next, in a couple, two or three lessons, I'd like for us to look at the many ways, many benefits of prayer. First of all, as I think about the benefits of prayer, one of the first things that came to my mind is who we are addressing in prayer. That we're able to communicate through this avenue of prayer with our Creator. And to me, that is very humbling, that the one who has made the heavens and the earth, who's made everything that we can see and things that we cannot see, even as far as we can see in 2019 with all the technology, the amazing things we can see in the universe, and to think that the one who made all things, that's the one we get to have the privilege and blessing to pray to. Isaiah brings that out. Many passages do. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, beginning, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Who are we praying to? We're praying to the everlasting God. We're praying to the Lord Jehovah. We are praying to the Creator, Isaiah says, of the end of the earth. We're praying to the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the ever-present Creator. This is the God to whom we pray, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of David, the God whom they pray to, we pray to. So when we read of these great men and women of faith in the Old Testament and New Testament, we read about their praying to God, serving God. We serve the same God. We pray to the same God. We communicate. Every time we bow our heads in prayer, we're communicating with our Creator. And to me, that's very humbling. And that should put us in a sense, an attitude of awe and reverence. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus reminds those who would be His disciples about God's power, about God's knowledge, about God's care for His creation. And He says in verse 6, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. It's hard for me to even wrap my mind around that. If we go out in our backyard or drive down the street and we see an animal, we see a bird, and God knows about that bird. He knows about at this time when two sparrows are sold for a little bit of money, and not one of them is forgotten before your God. Jesus' point is just if a little bird is known and remembered by the Creator, how much more so you and I? The crown of His creation, those who have been made in the very image of God, He knows the very number of the hairs of our head. The point there is He knows us inside and out. And He values us. He cares for us. He loves us, though we do not deserve it. And this is the God, this is the Heavenly Father that we are able and do communicate with every time we bow our head and express a prayer to Him. And to me, what an incredible benefit to be able to communicate with someone, a being, an eternal being like this. Amazing. And then, of course, the fact that He hears the petitions that we make to Him. Doesn't have to, but He does, and He wants to. He wants us to pray to Him, and the Bible tells us, the Scriptures tell us, that He hears us. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 12. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Notice that His ears are what? His ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. Not just to anyone. I mentioned at the beginning of the lesson that one of the greatest blessings I think that we have in Christ Jesus is prayer that we have, that God's people have in Christ Jesus. Sadly, really very few people then have this great blessing. Only those who are in Christ Jesus. His ears are open, and it said, to the prayers of anyone and everyone. His ears are open to the prayers of the righteous, those who are living according to God's will. But He does what? The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. His prayers, their prayers are not heard by God. They're not received by God. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9, we read there that one who turns his ear from hearing the law, his prayer is an abomination. So it's not that others don't pray. Many pray, but the Scriptures make it abundantly clear in the Old Testament and New Testament that He doesn't just hear anyone's prayer. If someone's turned his ear away from what God has said, then the prayer that He expresses to God, it's an abomination to Him. I'm not doing His will yet. I want You to hear me, God. I want You to answer my prayer, but I'm not living in accordance with Your will. It doesn't work that way. The man who was healed by Jesus of his blindness, he knew that. He understood that as he stood before the Jewish rulers in John chapter 9. That scripture's not on the PowerPoint, but John chapter 9. Remember him, the man who was born blind? And the Pharisees and the scribes are questioning him about who healed him. And they don't like what he's saying about Jesus. And he says to them in John 9 and verse 31, "Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him." Now, what he stated there is the truth. It's based in what the Bible teaches. That God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. That He doesn't hear the prayer of the wicked. That their prayers are an abomination. He turns His face against the wicked. But the one who does His will, the one who is a worshiper of God, He hears him. He hears the prayers of the righteous. Notice with me near the end of our Bibles in 1 John 5. First John chapter 5, please. And verses 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Stated twice, verse 1, verse 14 and verse 15, once in each. But it says He hears us. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And John says this is the confidence that we have. This is an, maybe He does. I think He does. I hope He does. John says this is the confidence that we have in Him, that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, verse 15, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now, I did a little looking in the Old Testament. And what you'll find in the Old Testament over and over is the statement of God saying, I have heard your prayer. And to me, that's comforting, that's reassuring. I mean, we know that, or we should know that, but to read it over and over in the Old Testament as well, that God hears the prayers of His people, of His saints. For example, in 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 3, the Lord said to Solomon, and I'm just going to read a bunch off, and if you don't get to them, that's okay. Just at least try to listen with your ears good. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. But he said to Solomon, I have heard your prayer. I have heard your supplication you made before me. 2 Kings 19 and verse 20. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. And if you remember that story, God heard in a pretty big way, didn't He? The angel of the Lord came to the camp of the Assyrians and wiped out 185,000 soldiers. Talk about hearing Hezekiah's prayer. The Assyrians were besieging, surrounding Jerusalem at that time. They had already taken Israel away into captivity, the northern kingdom, their brethren up to the north. And now they've come down to Judah. How were they defeated? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The righteous man was Hezekiah. He had a fervent prayer, and it was effective. I've heard your prayer, Hezekiah. Boy, did he ever. In 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 5, again with Hezekiah, he told Isaiah, the prophet, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. And of course, his life was extended 15 more years. But that was in regard to being told, set your house in order, for you shall not live but die. And Hezekiah didn't just accept it and resign himself to that statement. He prayed. And God said, I've heard your prayer. And not only that, I've seen your tears. And I'm going to heal you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 12, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. And then the son of Hezekiah that we studied just last week, Manasseh. Remember God's grace in the Old Testament. In 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 13, Manasseh prayed to him, prayed to God, and he, it says, received his entreaty, heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. How did he know the Lord was God? after he humbled himself and turned to God and prayed, and God heard his prayer. That's when he knew. And Psalm, they're all through the Psalms, of course. Psalm 3, verse 4, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Psalm 6, verse 9, the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Psalm 28, verse 6, blessed be the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplications. Psalm 31, verse 22. Psalm 31, verse 22, for I said in my haste, I am cut off before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. Psalm 66 and verse 19. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Psalm 116, verse 1. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. And Psalm 120 and verse 1. In my distress I cried to the Lord and he heard me. Over and over and over. And that's not all of them. But we're reminded God hears the prayers of his saints, of his people. His ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. We ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You remember that when you bow your head in prayer. You remember and think about who you're praying to, that he is the one in control. He's the one that made all things. He's the one that made us in his own image. He's the one that loves us, values us, cares for us, and he wants us to pray to him, pray without ceasing. And he hears us. He hears your prayers. Another great benefit of prayer. If we are praying as we ought to be, then prayer aligns our will with his will. Right? If we're praying as we ought to pray, it aligns our will with our Heavenly Father's will. We already read in 1 John 5:14, so I'll just refer to that first and then go to Matthew 6:10. But if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. It didn't say if we just ask anything, right? If we ask anything according to God's will, He hears us. We can have confidence then in that. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, that context is dealing with Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray, right? Therefore, pray to the Father. In verse 10, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And how often do we read in the gospel accounts of Jesus making reference to his Father's will, how he came to do his Father's will, or when we see him praying in the garden, he prays that his Father's will be done in spite of what he's facing, and knowing exactly what he was facing with the suffering and the cross before him. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. And it may not always be an easy thing to accept that, but to have the attitude, that submissive attitude, that humble attitude of surrendering ourselves to God's will, because ultimately we know that He knows best, right? The all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God, He knows best. His ways are unsearchable. And so we pray for His will to be done, as Wilburn did this morning, in all things. And that needs to be a regular part of our thoughts and our expressions and our prayers. To pray for His will to be done, whatever that may be. To align our will with His will. But that's another benefit of prayer. It helps us to do that, or it should. If we're praying again as we ought to pray, as Jesus instructs us to pray, your will be done. Another great benefit of prayer is it fosters within us a deeper reliance upon God, a deeper dependence upon God, a trust in God. Right? Notice in Psalm 18, Many, many scriptures would illustrate this point, but let's look at this one together. Psalm 18. Verses 1 through 6. We read there, of course, one of the many psalms of the sweet psalmist as he's described to us in Scripture, David. David says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry came before Him, even to His ears. See, David's praying to God in this text, right? And notice how it helped David, not just this time, but throughout his life, foster this deep and close relationship with God. This dependence and reliance upon God. How does he describe God? Well, first of all, in verse 1, notice he says, I will love you, O Lord, my what? What does he call God? How does he describe him? It says, my strength. Notice verse 2. How does he describe him? The Lord is my what? My rock, my fortress, my deliverer. You see that deep reliance upon God? He says, in whom I trust. My shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And I will call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised. And what will He do? So shall I be saved from my enemies. And then verse 6 again. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. And He what? He heard. He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry came before Him even to His ears. I think that's one of the great things about prayer. Again, if we have the right attitude, if it's sincere, then we realize that we are totally dependent upon God for everything. Physically speaking, spiritually speaking. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, right? In whom there's no variation or shadow of turning, James 1 and 17. But prayer builds up, or it should build up, our faith in God, our trust in God, our dependence upon God. Jesus was driving that point home with a physical point in Matthew 6, going back to that text, when he was teaching his disciples how to pray, with this statement, give me this day our daily bread. I mean, probably something that doesn't cross our minds because our refrigerators are packed full. We have freezer or freezers. Need something? Go to the 24-hour grocery store. Different times, different settings, right, than when Jesus spoke that. But that's a reality for a lot of people then, and a reality for people today in certain places, right? Each day dependent on that. But there's that dependence on God, though, to pray, give me this day. Well, we need to pray that because we can lose everything just like that. Everything can be lost, everything can be taken away, and everything comes from Him. So we need to express gratitude, but there's that dependence. Give me this day our daily bread. Not our weekly, not our monthly, but each day. Does prayer do that for you? Is that a benefit you've noticed about prayer, that it's fostering within you a deeper reliance and dependence upon God? If not, we need to get back to that or foster that within us. Another great benefit of prayer, no doubt, is the mercy and grace that we can find there in times of need. Go with me to Hebrews 4 to our scripture reading from earlier this morning. Hebrews chapter 4. And notice verses 14 through 16, please. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of, grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, here's something else that maybe we forget that's directly connected to the death of Christ. Prayer. Now, granted, prayer obviously was around before Christ came to this earth, because we've read and referenced a number of scriptures this morning from the Old Testament. It's not that prayer wasn't made available, but prayer is in many ways completely different since Christ died, was buried, and resurrected and ascended to heaven. Because now we have Him as our high priest. Now we have one that the Hebrew writer says in the 7th chapter in verse 25 that He lives, Christ lives, to make intercession for the saints. The Old Testament saints didn't have that. We have that. What a blessing that we have God who came in the flesh and went through everything He did. And as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 2, and in verse 17, therefore in all things He, speaking of Jesus, had to be made like His brethren, that He might be what? He had to be made like us, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted. He had to be made like us, that He might be this merciful and faithful high priest. You think about what the high priest did in the Old Testament, right? Aaron and his sons, those that followed, they would make offerings and sacrifices on behalf of people. They would go before God's presence on behalf of others. Now, who do we have going before God's presence on behalf of us? His own Son, seated at His right hand in heaven. There's our high priest right next to His heavenly Father. He's the mediator. He's the intercessor, the go-between. He's the high priest. And notice how He's described here in verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. In other words, we have a great high priest who can sympathize with us in our weaknesses. And so when we come to verse 16, let us therefore is predicated on what we just talked about. Because of Christ being our high priest, because He's merciful and faithful, because He's a sympathizing high priest, We can come boldly then before to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You and I are encouraged to come boldly to the throne of what? How's it described? The throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. And you just stop and pause and think about all the circumstances and times in our life where we need mercy and where we need grace from our Heavenly Father. We need it, of course, in times of sickness. We need it in times of sorrow and loss and death. We've lost a loved one. We need it if our marriage is troubled. We need it if we're dealing with rebellious or wayward children. We need it in times of financial struggles and hardships, dealing with the pressures of life. Many need it when they go to work. There's someone I know that, and I'm not thinking here, but this may apply to someone here, that someone I know quite well that hates to go to work. They hate their workplace. Now, some of you don't, and you love, you look forward to it, and that's great, right? What a blessing. But how terrible it must be if you dread each day going to work. Ungodly people, and what you have to deal with, and what they say to you, and maybe a situation where, because of age and what your degree is in, you don't see many other options of going elsewhere. Kind of reminds me of what Peter said about Lot, where he worked, where he lived. Now, he should have gotten out, but he was tormented, his righteous soul, from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. I mean, if you're in a situation like that, what do you need? You need all the time God's mercy, His grace. You need, because you need help. To help in time of need. And the list goes on and on. But every single one of us needs these things right here. We need help in time of need, do we not? And that's pretty much every day. What an incredible benefit of prayer. God's mercy, His grace. In time of need, when we need help. We need help a lot. And then sixth and finally for this morning, we'll save the other six for another time. But to think about this God that we pray to, that Paul says is able to do far above what we ask or think. And consider that first point we covered, who we're praying to, that we're able to communicate with our Creator, and that then makes perfect sense that the one we're praying to, who's all-knowing, who's all-powerful, who's made all things, that of course He's able to do above all that we ask or think. But how eloquently and how beautifully worded it is by Paul in a prayer that he expresses here in Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 14 through verse 21. But just notice the last two verses, please, of chapter 3 of Ephesians with me. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now let me read that again. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Try hard to let that biblical truth sink into your heart and mind. That God who we pray to is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Have you and I even begun to touch the hem of the garment when it comes to what we ask or think? When it comes to prayer? Have to wonder. May we need to be praying for more things, deeper, of course, in accordance with His will. But remember who you're praying to. And with God, all things are indeed possible. If you will, take out your hymn book, open to the song of invitation, please. As we extend the Lord's invitation this morning, I want to ask you right now, does God presently hear your prayers? Does God hear your prayers right now? Something I don't think I'll ever forget, unless I lose my memory, but something has stuck with me since I was a child that my mother said to me before I obeyed the gospel one night. She came into my bedroom before I went to sleep that night, and she says, "Jesse, you know that God doesn't hear your prayers." Now, I was old enough for probably a few years by that point in time to have obeyed the gospel, but I hadn't. I procrastinated, delayed for whatever excuses. But I was outside of Christ. I was a sinner. I was lost. I was not living according to God's will. I wasn't being obedient to Him. Isn't that what we studied early on? His ears are open to the righteous. I'm not talking about when I was just a wee little child. I'm talking about when I was a teenager now. And I wasn't surrendering my will to His will. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. Can't say I stopped praying. But I knew I was lost. And so that's why I ask you, is God presently hearing your prayers? If you're outside of the body of Christ, if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, if you're not a New Testament Christian, then no. That blessing, all spiritual blessings are where? They're in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1:3. And if I'm not in Christ, if you're not in Christ, then we don't have access not only to that blessing, but any blessing, spiritual blessing. But you can, and you will. If you'll come to God, if you'll come to Christ and obey the gospel, we invite you to do that this morning, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 3:16, to repent of your sins, as God commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30, to with your mouth confess the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, Romans 10:9 and 10, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Have your sins washed away, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16. You'll be raised to walk in newness of life. You'll be a child of God. You'll be added to the Lord's church. The Lord's church you can read about in the Bible. And yes, you'll have the blessing and privilege of praying to your Creator, your Heavenly Father, and He'll hear your prayers. And if you are a child of God, but there's sin in your life, until you repent of it, those prayers are not getting very far. You need to repent and get your life right with God again so that you'll have that fellowship with Him. And He'll hear your prayers and welcome them before His throne. But if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, would you let us know as we stand and as we sing?